Well, good morning. Guess what? It's me again. I told y'all I had a gift of gab. But anyways, we are continuing in our series of Unbreakable. If you weren't here last week, we got to hear our men of the house. They are godly men who spoke. And I'm sorry, I've got to use a card. We had Pastor Rocky Cunningham. He was up, and he shared some of his ideas and faith. I'm going to tell you, some of us had us in tears, they had us in laughter, but Pastor Rocky Cunningham was here last week and spoke. We had Pastor Moses Robbins. He was here, and his wife is here today. That's Meredith, and she is going to be speaking. Mary Cunningham, if you'll just raise your hand, that's Pastor Rocky's wife. We have also today, last week when we had Rodney Moore, who spoke, and we have his beautiful wife here today, Samantha Moore, if you weren't here for second service, a.k.a. Wildcat. Just saying, if y'all weren't here for second service, you missed it. But her new nickname around here is Wildcat, okay? And then we also have, we had Minister Ron Cooper, our praise and worship minister. He spoke, and his wife today is here on the panel. And we want to just give them a round of applause. These women of God, they were chosen for a reason to be here today, to get to speak to you. So once again, we just want to thank you for being here to hear this message from them. Last week was Alicia Bird, who was the mistress of ceremony. Today we have her husband, Derek Bird, who is the master of ceremony. So let's give him a round of applause. Okay, so with that being said, I am going to let Derek take it over.
Right. Good morning, Frontier Church. How's everybody? Good. I want y'all to look at your neighbor and say, no, I'm just playing. Y'all ain't got to look at your neighbor. That's all right. Well, I'm honored. I'm privileged to be here and be able to pick your brains a little bit and see what your perspective is as far as marriage is concerned. So I guess I'll start off with Miss Meredith. All right. What valuable lessons have you learned when it comes to God in your marriage?
Well, let me start. I was in a previous marriage for 14 years, and my ex-husband would always come to me with issues and problems, and what are we going to do about this, and what do you think about that? My answer was, well, God says that we're to do this. God says we're to do that. Finally, he came, and he's like, please, enough of the God stuff. Why does it always have to be about God? And so now I'm in a marriage, and one of the things he'd say, you just need to go marry a pastor. I did. I married a pastor. But everything is about God. We're made for God. We're made to worship God. We're made to praise God. Everything is made by God for God. So why wouldn't it be about God? He needs to be first in our marriages. Our marriages aren't going to work unless God is first. Amen.
All right, Ms. Samantha. Absolutely. What valuable lessons have you learned when it comes to God and your marriage?
Well, the valuable lesson that I have learned is that to allow God to change yourself and allow God to change your spouse. Understanding that you can't change that person. Only God can change the heart and mind of a man. So, and also, as God forgives us, showing a lot of forgiveness to our spouse.
Amen. Ms. Angelina?
Well, when me and my husband got married, I've come from a family where my parents been married for a pretty long time. They're still married. They got married when they were 19. I'm not going to say their ages now because they're probably watching. But my husband, he has a different background of what he saw marriage look like. So when we came into our marriage, and my dad is a minister, and we were raised in church. I remember seeing my mother and my father both pray together. They prayed about himself. There wasn't a time I can remember where I didn't see my dad studying his word, studying the Bible. So, and my husband, he has the same background. His mom was a minister. And so when we first got married, I knew that I had the perfect side. I had the perfect side of what marriage looked like. And I don't know what his version of it was, but I just knew I had the perfect vision of it. But in all actuality, it wasn't the perfect vision of it, because we both, even though we grew up in a church background, in a church setting, I know for myself, I didn't have that personal relationship with God. So it wasn't working. I couldn't understand why. Like, why is this, it's not supposed to go like this. I had everything checked out and planned. I was one of those that had it checked out. And if it didn't match, I was spazzing out in my mind. But the key was to really put God first. And what that meant for me was having that relationship with him and letting him tell me how it was supposed to go. Yes, I had good, you know, a upbringing of what it looked like, but I didn't really know what it was supposed to be like until I really let go and let him be first in our marriage. And that was the key for us, was putting him first.
Amen. Ms. Cunningham?
I would have to say that, and I agree with all these ladies and with our husbands last week, that they all said that God has to be first. But if I could expound on that just a little bit, God has to be first in every aspect of your marriage. Simply the fact that you're both saved and you go to church together does not put God first in your marriage. He has to be first over your finances. He has to be first over your children. He has to be first over your attitude towards one another. I can't ask him to bless my home unless he is the Lord of my home. I can't ask him to bless my husband unless I honor my husband as the word tells me that I need to. And I submit to him and follow him as he follows God. So Rocky and I, we began our life together, what we like to call pre-Jesus. Neither of us knew the Lord. So we kind of discovered a life in Christ together, and it was early in our marriage, so we had the honor of little by little understanding what that meant to have God in our life. And Rocky's kind of a either all out. But so when he said yes to God, it was all in. And so that's in your marriage. You got to be all in for God.
Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. We'll start off next with Samantha. What misconceptions do you think couples have going into marriage that ultimately leads to huge disappointments?
I think the misconception is with some of us, we think that when we find that other person that everything is going to be good. That person is going to fulfill my needs. That person is going to bring me joy. That person is going to make me happy. That's a misconception, because God is the only one that can do that. I feel like because as women, we have this fairy tale of what a marriage is supposed to be like. You know, we want the fairy tale wedding, the bells and whistles and all of that. And I say that because anyone can get married, but the work is staying married.
Amen.
So you really have to understand that you don't let your emotions lead you. No matter how you're feeling, you pray about it. You cannot be moved by your emotions. You have to let the Holy Spirit lead you. And again, it's putting the effort into staying married. No matter how I feel, I have to love this person. Love is just not a feeling, but I choose to love this person. I choose to stay just as I choose to stay connected with God, and I choose to love him no matter how I'm feeling. I choose to stay connected with my husband. I make a choice to love him.
Amen. Ms. Merritt?
I think we as women, I might be speaking for myself, we like to fix things. We like to change things. We like to help people. And I think a lot of times we go into a marriage thinking, I'm going to help this person. Oh, they need the Lord so bad, and I can do that. We can do that, and we're going to experience something amazing. I heard something from another pastor and his wife, and their biggest thing was, you be Jesus and let God be God. So if you found yourself that you're in a marriage like that, you're not going to change that person. But you can be Jesus, and Scripture does tell us that you, by your actions and by your following Christ, God can change that person. So there is hope for those that are maybe in that marriage, that God can change them, but your job is to be Jesus, because you're not going to do it. Only the Holy Spirit can change him. But I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions going into marriage, is we can fix it, we can change it, we can't do anything without him, and his work will do it. But you can be Christ-like to that person. And then too, one of the it helps when that person is following Christ. I remember watching, even as a kid, watching movies, and it's a love story, and they're all in love, and I'm crying because I so desperately want that. I want that love, and I want to be in that relationship, and I'm not, and things are terrible. Now I get to watch those movies, and a big smile comes on my face, but it's not because of what my husband has done or who my husband is. It's because of who Christ is, and because now I'm satisfied because Christ is in me, and he's changed me, and he's changed my outlook. So that's, I can now smile when I watch a movie because I have it, and I have a wonderful husband who has Christ as his Lord, and it makes it there's Amen. Nothing more sexier than a man that praises God. Sorry.
Amen. Miss Angelina, you want to elaborate on that?
Miss Meredith hit it right on the nose of what I was thinking. You ever seen that cartoon where it was like a little mouse or something, and it'd be like, tell me more about my eyes, and just sitting there trying to wait for that little comment. I think, you know, I told you I had that checklist. I'm like, that's what my husband's going to do every day. He's going to tell me about my eyes. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And I had that, I don't know, I had that thing in my head because I saw it on cartoons. I love cartoons. So I think the biggest misconception was, I mean, yes, he give me compliments all the time, but it was, okay, if he didn't give me a compliment today, I'm like, he didn't mention my eyes today. Oh, he didn't tell me about my hair. Babe, what you think about my eyes? What you think about my hair? I didn't hear you today. But I had to learn, like, when I developed and when I grew and when I started being in relationship with God, that song, His Love, is like, it's so real. Like, if I had to understand what his love was before I could understand and appreciate the value of the love from my husband. Because the world's version of love and God's version of love is really two different things. It's not complimenting. Compliments help. I love him. He does them. But if he doesn't compliment me or if he doesn't mention something, I'm not. You know, it was at a point where he didn't tell me about my eyes today. I don't think I like him today. You know, but that's the world's version of love. If you don't get this from that person, you can dismiss him. It's okay, because, you know. But I had to understand how God's love and how God saw me, who I was to him, to understand, and like I said, and value the love that I got from him. And I'm like, I think I have the perfect husband. Because once I understood that, I'm like, man, this man loved me. So that was it for me, is knowing who I was in him and knowing his love for me, it helped me understand my husband's love for me.
Ms. Cunningham?
I think one of the greatest misconceptions for marriage is that the marriage is going to be equal to the dating or the wedding. It ain't. I'm sorry. It doesn't take long to where the fuzzy feel-goods kind of go away. The marriage, you work and you strive, or the wedding, rather, you work and you strive and you plan and you save and you do all these things to get that perfect 20 minutes. And then okay, what do I do now? You know, that's supposed to go on and on and on. Well, it doesn't. An example, I get migraine headaches, and sometimes they will last for 4 hours, and sometimes they will last for 4 days. When my husband walks into the room, and I am 4 days into a migraine headache, I have not been out of bed, I've not washed my hair, he does not get fuzzy feel goods when he looks at me. He's like, ugh. Really? But no, but he takes care of me. He nurtures me. He loves me through it. If we would put, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're not married, please hear this. If you will put half as much effort into planning your marriage as you do your wedding, you've got half the battle.
Amen.
Amen.
A marriage takes work. It takes commitment. It takes divorce not being an option. If you go into marriage with divorce as an option, at some point he's not going to give you that compliment. Somebody else will, and you're going to pick up that option and run with it. It can't be an option. One man, one woman, till death.
Amen. Good stuff. Good. While we're on the subject of divorce, in these times with divorce rates at an all-time high, we have women and men entering marriage that have never seen their own parents or others in their families in a marriage. Do you think not having those role models as a reference impacts their ability to have a successful marriage? I'll start with you, Angelina.
I don't think it affects their ability. I think you can still have a successful marriage as long as you put God first, which is, you know, that's the main thing what we've all been saying. Put God first. What the world see and what the world does is completely different from how it is in His Word. I think because my husband, knowing his background, he was on the panel last week and he spoke a little bit about his background, how his parents weren't together. And, you know, my parents were together, but then I grew up with them together. I've seen them pray, seen them do all these things together, but there was a lot of stuff that I didn't understand or I didn't know when I got married. To speak, I was, you know how I said I came in with the perfect mind frame of how marriage was supposed to be. I didn't have the perfect mind frame of how marriage was supposed to be. Because when we got into our marriage, I was like, I wanted to sit my parents down in a chair in front of me and go over the stuff that they didn't tell me about, like a little, you know, one-on-one intervention. Like, you didn't tell me it was supposed to be like this, like this, like this, like this. I can't do this. Even though I grew up with them being married, I still didn't get it because I didn't have that relationship with God. And, I knew about God. I was like one of those people, you know, they say, are you a Christian? And I was like, yeah, I was a Christian. Went to church. You know, that's what made me a Christian, because I went to church and my parents knew God. I just didn't have that relationship, and I wasn't a Christian because I didn't know Him. But that's what I said, because that's what everybody else say. That's what the world says. But I definitely think you have the ability to have a very, very successful marriage if we just put Him first, just have that relationship with Him. You know, it's not, like Ms. Mary was saying, it's not about just putting Him first, going to church, but actually physically having that relationship with Him through His Word, through fellowship, through, you know, just whatever you can get that tells you about God. having a real relationship with him is gonna help you have a successful relationship, and doing that together.
Amen. Miss Samantha.
Also, my husband spoke on the panel, and he saw, you know, his parents being married for 50-some years. I didn't see that growing up. I had a father who was married and divorced 3 times. I don't think, again, it doesn't affect the ability for you to have a successful marriage. I think it affected me as an individual because he was my role model. So I did not see him. I did not see stability. I did not see him, you know, stay in there for the long run. Every time, you know, something got too difficult or too hard, he ran from that marriage and went on to the next relationship. So I will say this, that it affected me in my adulthood as far as knowing what stability was and what a good marriage was supposed to be like. To be transparent, in my own marriage, when we first got married, and we went through our ups and downs, because I saw that with my father, every time something didn't go right or it got tough, I was ready to give up, throw my ring down and say, that's it, I'm not going through this. The only reason that I stayed, and I know this, is because of Christ that's in my husband. He didn't see me who I was. He didn't see me for who I was at that time. He saw me for who Christ knew that I was going to become. So he so he understood that he was dealing with a damaged individual, but he understood that God could come in and transform that individual into someone good. And so, you know, every time I would get mad and I wanted feedback, he was just in his word and he was praying, and he didn't give me a choice. When I said, I'm packing my bag, he's like, no, you're staying. So I thank God, because he brought the right man into my life that was strong enough to stay with me and to not let me leave, and to understand that, again, God was going to change me, and that I was going to stay no matter what. And I also thank God, because he put women of wisdom in my life when I didn't understand why I was continuing to go through broken relationships and not wanting to stay married. And he used a particular person, and she said, you know, God told me to tell you, you need to take your running shoes off. You need to learn to stay through the good and the bad, and through the difficult times. So I just thank God again for Christ and my husband, and the strength that he has to keep me grounded and kept me there. So,
amen. Give it up for Rodney Moore. All right, Miss Cunningham.
I think not having those role models and what a godly marriage looks like can hinder you, but it doesn't have to. God is the author and the creator of marriage. He designed it. He created it. And he tells us, his word tells us, that he wrote his truths on our heart. So if we simply align ourselves with him and his word, whether we've had it demonstrated for us or not, God will help us figure it out. We just have to come to the understanding that even if we had the ideal mother and father marriage demonstrated to us growing up, that doesn't mean that that's going to carry over into my relationship with my spouse, because we're two totally different people. So I can't expect my husband to be like my father. I can't expect my husband to treat me the way my dad treated my mom, because I don't know what their relationship was. I know what it looked like, but I don't know what it was. So don't, if we ever try to gauge our relationships on someone else's, ours is going to look like a failure. If we gauge what our relationship is on what the standard that God set for us, and we make that our goal, then whether it's ever been demonstrated by man, we're going to succeed, because that's the gauge that we strive for.
Amen. All right, Ms. Meredith.
I'm also damaged goods or whatever, coming from a divorced family. I find out later in life, you know, how much it did hurt me when I did become in a marriage relationship and not knowing what to do. But praise God for his Bible, because he gives us specific instructions, and it calls us out as wives, and it calls us out as husbands, and it gives us things that we're to do. And as wives, we're to submit to our husbands. That doesn't mean we're a doormat, and that, you know. But when the husband, because he calls the husband to lay down your life as Christ laid down his life for the church, that doesn't mean you're going to take a bullet for her one day. It means when the football game is on and she wants to go to the beach, guess what, guys? You lay down your life for your wife and take her to the beach. But in return, you will have a happy wife who will be willing to submit to your authority. And when she's willing and happy and satisfied, you will be satisfied, if you know what I mean. God planned it out to make us happy. He didn't do it because he wants us to suffer. That wasn't his plan. We're not in it to suffer. We're in it to bring him glory. And by giving him glory, he's given us all these wonderful things as a marriage that we can be satisfied. And getting really close and understanding who he is, it will just make for an awesome relationship. I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying that. I'm not giving you false hope here. There's no false hope. It's work. It is a lot of work. But when we submit to Christ and we humble ourselves, because I had to humble myself this morning, because Satan wanted to come in, and he didn't want me up here this morning. He wanted to keep me at home. And I've been praying for this for a long time. Christ, speak through me. Let, you know, I want to be your vessel. I want them to hear something that you want to say. And the enemy wanted to destroy that this morning, and he did not want anything coming out of my mouth this morning. But you know what? Our God is bigger, and we have to humble ourselves to him and submit to Christ and obey him. And in that, he will bless us. He will bless us.
Can I follow up just one thing on that topic as well?
Absolutely.
When she mentioned that God's plan for marriage is there, this is especially to those of you that are not married yet or are young people in particular. In the Bible, there is an order of the way a man should come together. And God didn't say you shouldn't have sex before marriage, because he doesn't want you to have sex before marriage. He said that because there's an order in which a marriage will work. And Pastor Moses touched on that last week, that part of the marriage is that coming together and two becoming one. That's the order of things. When we get out of order, then we have children before we should have children. And then children are raised up in families that are dysfunctional because it didn't way God planned it to begin. There is an order, and as long as we, whether it's been demonstrated or not, if we will search God's word and find that order and hold ourselves accountable to it, allow God to hold us accountable to it. Our marriage, like she said, it's not going to be perfect, but it will be, the one that is perfect will reign over it, and it'll be great.
Amen. All right, Ms. Angelina, what makes you feel valued and respected?
What makes me feel valued and respected? Well, my husband knows I'm a person. I like to hear affirmation from him, and I hear that a lot from him, but like I said earlier, it wasn't until I knew who I was in Christ that I was able to fully accept what he was saying to me and understand what he was saying to me. And he, like, whether he say it or not, just his actions and the things that he do. And Ms. Meredith hit it on the nail too. I love seeing him in his word. I love his love for God. Like, it makes me, like, I want to follow him. I want to be, he's a role model. He's a role model for our kids. He's a role model for me. I want to learn more because he wants to learn more. I love that about him. I love his love for God. And it makes me feel valued because I know if he loves God the way he's supposed to love God, he's going to take care of me regardless.
Yep. Amen. Ms. Cunningham?
Rocky makes me feel valued and respected because he makes me feel safe and protected. There's a little thing that he does. Whenever we're walking on the sidewalk or in the parking lot or whatever, he always puts me on the inside, exactly. And he does that because he wants me to be safe. He wants to protect me. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen to him first. Well, there are some days that we'll be going to Home Depot or whatever, and I'm walking, and he's just looking at me like, where are you supposed to be? And I'm like, I am a grown woman. I can go into Lowe's, But then I have to stop and think, that's who he is, and that's what he does. He protects me. He guards me. My mom had a stroke several years ago, and for 10 years before she passed away, I would travel from Nashville to Indianapolis quite often, and Rocky hated it when I would go by myself because he was not able to take care of me. So he would know how fast I was driving, and I had to be able to tell him what mile marker I was at when he would call me and say, "Where are you at?" And I was like, "I'm at you don't know your mile marker, do you?" But he did that because he wanted to be able to take care of me. He said, if something happens to you and I don't know where you are, I can't take care of you. He overwhelms me with love to the point that I know he would take that bullet for me. I know that he would do whatever he needs. He would lay down his life for me, just as Christ laid down his life for the church, for us, for the body. So that's how I know he respects me and he loves me and he honors me, because he takes care of me.
Amen. Miss Meredith?
How long you got? I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. But I have a husband who absolutely adores me, and loves me and values me and respects me, and I don't understand it except for he loves Christ, and that's the only thing that keeps him going. Praise God. Because if it was just me, he would have walked out that door a long time ago. But because he has Christ in his life, he stays, he loves me, and he tells me, he looks me in the eyes, we have this thing, and he holds my face, and we go like this, and he goes, nobody's coming in here. He says, I love you, and only you, and that's how it's going to be. And so whenever the times get rough, that's what he does. He pulls my face in, and he's like, no, it's us. And he's not saying like Christ isn't a part of it. Like, he's only doing that because Christ is in him. Because otherwise, it would be way easier for him to say, "Woman, you are just out there." He does lay down his life for me. We haven't had television in our house for 5 years, and praise God, because I know he'd be sitting in front of the TV every Sunday watching a football game, but instead, we've chosen not to have that so we can spend quality family time together. And play old school. Like, I cook and clean and he takes out the trash. But I always know that I don't have, even though the trash is starting to overflow, I don't have to take it out. And I know that. My gas gets low, he's the one that's going to fill it up for me. Like, I mean, it's the little things like that. He's always telling me you're beautiful. And I have a really hard time because, like she said, it wasn't until I understood Christ's love for me that I could accept him telling me that. So when we do have Christ, it makes it so much easier to feel valued and respected by our spouse, because they're just not going to do it on their own. So anyways.
Amen. Ms. Samantha?
To piggyback off of what Angela said, my love language is affirmation as well. I feel valued and respected when my husband tells me that he appreciates me, but not only tells me, that's just lip service, as he calls it, but that he shows me that he appreciates me, because you can say something, but actions have to follow that. So I also remind him that what he did in the beginning to date me, that he has to continue to do those things to keep me.
Amen.
Okay, so just because we've been married now for 10 years, I still need those poems. I still need to hear, I love you. You know, I appreciate you. He texts me every day because he knows that, again, that's showing appreciation. I'm showing that I love you more today than I loved you even in the beginning. So he tells me that. Also, I feel valued because he allows me to be me. He doesn't try to change me. He doesn't try to compare me to brother so-and-so's wife. Well, you see, she does this, she does that. Why? He doesn't do that. He allows God to bring the conviction. When I'm going through things, you know, it's not, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, we come together in prayer, again, putting God first and allowing the Holy Spirit, to lead us. I also want to say that, you know, him being rooted and grounded in Christ, he keeps me grounded. We as women, we want stability and security. Again, I didn't have that in past relationships, so by him staying close to Christ and being connected with Christ, I don't have to worry that. I know that he's not going anywhere because God's got him.
Amen. Well, that concludes the panel. And we want to thank you all for sharing. And I will turn it over to Angie.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for being here today. Thank you for your answers, because I'm going to tell you from last week and this week, and it's so, you know, whenever you're listening to these questions and these answers, you can always glean something that you can, you know, maybe we should try that, you know, implement that into our marriage. And some of these answers were just fantastic. And there was one last week that I'm like, oh, I've got to post that on Facebook, like, right away. And I did that again today with something that you said, Samantha. And it was just, you know, a great word for our marriages and for us to be able, we can always glean from another person and from their word. And I just want to thank you for being here today. Pastor couldn't be here with us today, and sometimes we think that's an opportunity for us not to be here. But I want to thank you for honoring him and continuing to be here through this series. So give yourself a round of applause for being here. And I want you to give a round of applause for these ladies, these godly women. You know, these women are...